Matthew chapter number 14. And while you turn there, let me mention a couple of other things. Jacob mentioned picking up some of the Easter tracts that are out front. We have nice postcards that have been designed for you to give to your neighbors. We're looking forward to Easter Sunday morning. You know, Easter is a day that a lot of folks come to church that we don't otherwise get to see, right? And so we want to take advantage of that day, and we're doing some special things Easter Sunday. Now, we're preaching the resurrection. That's the most important thing that will happen. But we're also planning some things for families who will be with us. And so would you please begin to pray now for Easter Sunday morning and for everything that will take place that day. In a couple of weeks, we're going to talk to some of you about some ministry opportunities that day. How many of you like to chat? You just like to talk. You're talkers. Raise your hand. I know you. I'll call you out. Yeah, there we go. There are a few hands. We just need some folks who would be willing to talk to some of our visitors that morning while their kids are looking for Easter eggs or doing some other things, just to say, hello, my name is, and that gives them a chance to say, oh, my name is, right? And we're glad you're here today, so that when they come back, they know, at least I know one person in that church who took the time to come and ask about me and to get to know me. I got an email yesterday, Pastor, this is news to you. You know, it was in the plans, but we have been accepted to participate in this year's it's actually the South Carolina Strawberry Festival, which is held every year here in Fort Mill. And we're looking forward to the same thing, a ministry of just meeting our neighbors and sharing the gospel where we have an opportunity. But candidly, more than anything else, just letting people know there is a church on the hill over here on 21 Bypass that they would be welcome to come and to visit. And so be praying about that as we look forward to that. And we'll be talking to you more about more outreach opportunities we have throughout the year. But those are some things that we're excited about. We've sort of been keeping quiet about. I didn't want to say anything about Strawberry Festival until I knew that it was going to happen. And we just got word on that. So pray for those things. On a far less spiritual note, we're going to go to a hockey game on April 1st. And I hope you're looking forward to that. BibleBaptistOnline.com/hockey. And just tell us, yes, I want to go, and tell me how many are going, and we'll make sure we have room at the hockey game for you. So that'll be a good night. I know you're all big hockey fans. We're not going to watch hockey. Now, some of us will watch hockey. We're going to hang out with each other and spend some time as a church family. And if wrestling breaks out, that's okay. We'll put up with that too. Matthew chapter 14. I'm not going to give you the whole panoply tonight of how the Lord's been leading and what I'll be doing through the remainder of the year, but I wanted to start in this very familiar passage of Scripture to remind us of some things. Sometimes we read through passages and we go, oh yeah, that's that time when Jesus did that thing and there were those people there and that was good and I like that story. And it's good for us to take a deep breath and say, why did the Lord do that? And when we begin to study a passage of Scripture, we see that God was often doing several things at the same time, right? He was teaching his disciples something. He was revealing a part of his character, the Lord Jesus' character, to those who were around and seeing him, and so that they could understand more about who he is and who the Father is. And sometimes we see that God was also teaching us some theological truth at the same time. And we begin to see how God works in a specific way through these specific events. And so tonight, as we look at Matthew 14, please let's take for a minute the idea of a Bible story out of it. And let's remember that what we're talking about is a real event that happened with real people at a real point in time. And it was important enough that the Holy Spirit of God said, I'm going to record this in my written word so that believers from this day forward will know what I did at that day and that there is a purpose and a benefit in it for them. Now, the passage starts Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. And as soon as I begin to read, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I know this story. I'll be honest, as I was studying this story, I thought, oh, yeah, I know this story. But the Lord showed me something in my study that I don't know that I've seen before. And I hope it'll be a help to us as we go. The Bible says, and straightway, that means immediately, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway immediately, Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water. Can we just pause there for a second? I know we all want to talk about Peter's lack of faith, and Peter sunk, and Peter saw the... Can you just mark it for a minute? Peter walked on the water. Can any of the rest of us say that? For just that one moment in time, however long it lasted, Peter walked on the water. And the scripture says, But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, tonight we thank you for your word, for the inspired truth that you have left for us. We thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth as we read and consider these verses before us. We thank you, Father, tonight that you have left for us this written record, not only so that we have some interesting historical account, but so that we as your people, as your children, can understand better who you are and what it is that you're doing through us. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2022. What are you going to write in your journal by the end of this year? I think for most of us, for the rest of our lives, if we say March 2020, we will immediately remember where we were and what was going on, right? Since that's happened 2 years ago now, almost to the day that COVID began to affect all of our lives in such a dramatic way, we think of all of the other things that have taken place in our society, in culture, on the world stage. We stand now frustrated at gasoline prices that just seem to skyrocket. I've been a big fan of Sam's. Sam's is cheap. I got gas today at Sam's. It wasn't cheap. I was discouraged, right? Inflation continues to roll and to rise. And as I said this morning in Sunday school class, I don't say these things from a political standpoint. I just say them because it's reality. Here's where we are. And sometimes life is difficult. We have a prayer list that is long. Have you noticed? It's as small a font as I dare to make it, and we can still read it. And yet it's 2 pages crammed front and back. And there are some of you that know that there are other things we could and perhaps should be praying for that aren't even reflected on that list. Some of you have heartaches and burdens so intimate and so close to your heart that you almost don't even share them with us as your church family, right? We know that we grieve for children. We grieve for circumstances. We grieve for the lost. And we have all of these concerns that we bear with us. And the Lord knows all of that. And there may be a part of us that says, God, if you're so good and if you're so gracious, why can't you just make all of that go away? Why couldn't we live our Christian existence the way some of our charismatic cousins want to tell us it should be, where it's all just happy and good and blessing every moment? The reality of life is it's not always good and happy and blessing every moment. Sometimes there are difficulties and frustrations. Jesus told his disciples on that night, at the end of a long and eventful day, I want you to get in the boat and go to the other side. Now notice very carefully in the passage, in no place does it say God sent a great wind. It doesn't say that God caused a torment. It just says that they were rowing and the winds were contrary. Some of those men were professional fishermen. They had rowed on that sea countless times. They knew what the waters were. They knew what they were in for when they got out there. And so when the wind started to blow and the waves started to come, they probably shrugged their shoulders and said, it's another night on the Sea of Galilee. This is just what life is, because sometimes life isn't always smooth sailing, right? Couldn't Jesus have sent him at a different time? Couldn't he have allowed that wind to blow maybe over on the shore rather than right across the sea? Couldn't he have said to them, fellas, I want you to go to the other side, but give it an hour or so and let the storm pass? But he did none of that. He said, just go to the other side and I'll meet you over there. There's more to be done over there. And so tonight, I don't want to talk so much about the storm that God creates for us. I just want us to be reminded that sometimes we're sent through the storm for a variety of reasons. We pass through difficult days simply because we pass through difficult days. Let me suggest some things. First of all, sometimes we're sent through the storm just to remind us of the realities of life. The passage starts in verse number 22 saying, straightway Jesus sent them. But if you go back and you read more of chapter number 14, you find out that what had just happened that day is that Jesus had fed 5,000 men. His disciples had been there. They'd been a part of that whole thing. You remember the account, right? Now, can you imagine these disciples after a day like this? They saw that little bit of food being multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And then Jesus said, now gather up the baskets and get the fragments. And everything in human reasoning says, Lord, there can't be any fragments. There was hardly enough to start with. How can there possibly be leftovers? Go get them. And they loaded them up. And they saw with their own hands and with their own backs and shoulders, they bore the weight of those leftovers. They knew what Jesus had done. And then he said, now get in the boat and go. Wow. What do you suppose that conversation was like for the first 100 yards? Did you see that? How did that happen? I've never seen anything like it in my life. The fish just kept coming and coming and coming. I was trying to get a better view to see what he was doing, right? Man, we're excited. And then all of a sudden it got a little hard. Wouldn't it be great if we could live our lives always in the shadow of a miracle? If we just knew every day was wonderful and God did some mighty thing. But is every day like that? Listen, there are days we can come to church on a Wednesday night and say, praise God, he answered prayer. And we rejoice in that. We hear about someone who got saved, and you say, man, he was so lost, I didn't know that even the Spirit of God could reach him. And God saves him, and we say, man, there's a miracle. Wouldn't it be great if every day could be like that? I don't know about you, but my every day is not like that. Now, my every days are fine. I don't really have hard days. I can't much complain, even though I just complained about the high price of gas, right? A couple of weeks ago, I went to turn the water on at my house. We live in the U.S. of A. We have water. We turn the faucet, there's water. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That night there was no water. I was not a happy man. Now, I didn't throw a temper tantrum. I didn't lay down on the floor and cry. And the next day when the plumber came by and told me what he needed to do to get me water again, I had, shall we say, mixed emotions. On the one hand, I was glad I was going to have water by the end of the day. On the other hand, I was not glad about what I was going to have to do to get water by the end of the day. It wasn't a happy miracle kind of day, other than to say God provided what I needed in order to be able to get my water. The water goes out. Somebody gets chicken pox. Your wife gives you that face, right? Not every day is a great day. And sometimes we just say, why is it like? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in the middle of a sin-cursed body. I'd like to tell you I'm a young man. I'd like to tell you that. But you're looking at me and you know better. And every once in a while, I get a little reminder that my body is not what my body used to be. Can I get a witness? Right? And even if you are a young and healthy individual, every once in a while you realize, man, my body doesn't like it when I do that thing. I don't care how healthy you are. When you stub your toe, you are reminded that pain is a part of the reality of this life, right? And so sometimes we go through these difficulties in life just to be reminded, this is life. Life is not always that bed of roses that we might hope that it is. Sometimes we have to be reminded that we live with the curse of our own fleshly nature. My biggest enemy usually isn't Satan, it's me. Why? Because I want what I want, and you do too, right? And it's just the way we're made. We're aggravated when somebody doesn't recognize us for who we are. We're aggravated when somebody takes our parking space over at the Walmart. We're aggravated so easily at little things, and we're reminded constantly, I am not the man or the woman of God that I would like for you to believe that I am. I still struggle in those ways. With all of that, turn over, leave your finger here in Matthew 14 to the Gospel of Mark. There's a parallel passage, and this is the thing that I saw that I hadn't noticed before. And all of you are going to say, well, man, we saw that years ago. Good for you. I hope you did. Verse 48 says, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. This is Mark 6:48. Walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now, I don't know, somehow in my brain, I always had this story that Jesus knew that they were struggling, and so he walked out into the sea to help them. This passage says Jesus was just walking. Imagine two cars on the interstate. Maybe you're all going to go to lunch or dinner somewhere tonight after the service, or whatever it is that you eat after the service. And you say, well, we're going to go. And we're out on 77, and I'm driving along, and I don't know, pick on somebody here. Stephen Miller just drives past me on the interstate because he's going to the same place I am, and I see him, and he just drives by. There's no need for him to stop, right? We're going to the same place. Apparently, Jesus was doing exactly that. I'm just going because these men are fishermen. They understand it's a hard way to row. This is normal for them, is what I'm trying to say. And it wasn't until they saw the Lord and they said, wait a minute, there's somebody walking on the water. There's a spirit. That's when they cried out for fear. They weren't afraid of the storm. They were afraid of what they saw in the darkness. It reminds me that sometimes we are sent through the storm because the Lord's trying to do something for us. He's trying to get us to move. When Peter saw the Lord walking, he said, Lord, let me do that. Don't you love Peter? Let me do that. I want to come out there. Here's a question for you, class. If you're on a boat and the winds are strong and the waves are high, where is the safest place to be at that moment? I didn't even have to give you multiple choice. In the boat. We don't want to get out of the boat. Peter says, I'd like to get out of the boat now. Thank you. I'm just going to climb. Oh, and the Lord said, come on. Come on. And he walked on the water. And sometimes it's not so much the fact that we're in the safety of the boat that God wants us to be struggling along. Sometimes God says, I have something I'd like for you to do now. Here's an opportunity. Step out and get wet for a minute. Sometimes he calls us to leave our comfort zone, right? Sometimes he asks us to do something. You ever been asked to do something at church? The pastor comes and says, brother, sister, we need some help in this ministry over here. And we've been praying about it, and God answered our prayer. And that's why I'm talking to you right now. And in your heart, something goes, well, me? No, preacher, you need to go back and pray a little more because you got your signals crossed. That can't be for, have you been there? And suddenly you realize I'm in the middle of something maybe I didn't really know I was going to be doing. You come to church one day, you're just minding your own business. You're sitting in the service, comfortable. Pastor says, we're going to have an invitation now. And so we have an invitation. Somebody comes forward, they're weeping, and pastor speaks to them. And then pastor looks at you and he goes. Now, for some of you at this point in the service, you are praying deeply. You don't want to look up. You don't want pastor to give you one of those, right? Because what does this mean? Come here and talk to this person, help this person. Now, I know we have some people in our church who are eager and they're ready. And when that moment comes, I see them. They got their Bible and they're out here on the edge, right? And pastor sees them too. He's not going to call on you if you're back there hiding. Don't misunderstand me. But there are times God gives to us an opportunity and it all but terrifies us. And sometimes God said, you're going to go through a little difficulty. You're going to go through some things you wouldn't necessarily choose because there is something that I'm trying to accomplish in your life, and it's going to require a certain amount of discomfort. And that's okay. Lord, here am I. Send me. I think when Isaiah saw the greatness and holiness of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 6, and the Lord said, who shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah had just said, woe is me, for I am undone. I don't deserve to be in this place. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When Isaiah saw the holiness of God, he understood his own insignificance, and the next thing he heard was the call of God. Who's going to go? Me? There's a need for people to go. There's a need for people to go around the world to hard places, but you know, sometimes there's a need for people to go across the street, and that's even a scarier place sometimes, isn't it? Some years ago, we took a group from this church to Ecuador. Ecuador. We knocked on doors in Ecuador. Now, how many in that group are Spanish speakers, you ask? None. Now, you talk about a good time. So we had somebody from the church with somebody from Bible Baptist Church. I mean, somebody from the local church in Ecuador. And they would go to a door, and all of our folks had learned like one sentence they could say when the door would open. And every day the group would come back and they said, I learned some Spanish today. I said, really? What did you learn? And they would tell me what they learned. And they had learned, hello, my name is Bob. We're from the church. And then they'd step aside and let the Spanish speaker speak, right? So we had done that for 2 or 3 days. And a young lady from our church said to me, you know, I like doing this. I said, great. She goes, why don't we do this at home? I said, I don't know. You tell me. And she thought about it for a few minutes and she said, it would be harder there. And she's right, right? Because we're going to Ecuador where we can hardly speak the language, where nobody's ever going to see us again. But if I walk across the street, now I know the language. Now I'm the one that has to give an answer. It's going to be harder there. You may find yourself one day sludging through some waves, fighting some wind, trying to figure out why is life suddenly so complicated, and you're going to hear that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit that says it might be time for you to step out of the boat. And you know what you're going to say? Boy, am I scared. That's fine, because in those moments, he is our great comforter who can enable us to do that which he calls us to do. And we rest in him. Sometimes he sends us out of the boat to get us to move. Sometimes he sends us out of the boat or sends us through the storm to show us what we're made of. The disciples weren't afraid of the storm, as I said, but they were afraid of the movement of God in that moment. Peter himself, even though he started well, he had some fear, didn't he? He sunk. The Bible says when he saw the winds and the waves were boisterous, that's when he sunk in spite of his great faith. Do you sometimes feel like you're in a spiritual roller coaster? Man, one day my faith is great. I can pray for anything. I can trust God for whatever. And the next day it just feels like I don't have the faith to even begin to pray. I can't see how God will do anything. If that's your struggle, I would just say welcome to the Christian life. Because we all work through those moments of enthusiasm and then we work through those moments of discouragement and defeat. And we have the same Lord who is ready to answer our prayers as we have on those great days and on those challenging days. I'm so glad that my faith does not depend on me. My faith does not depend on my quantity of faith. My faith does not depend on how good I feel on that particular day. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in him. Jerry's been showing us every week in junior church what faith is. And every time he comes to the word believe, he sits down in a chair. And every time he sits down in the chair, all the kids laugh. I think they think every week, this is the week that chair is going to collapse. This is the week the chair is going to collapse. And Jerry reminds them, faith just means I believe the chair is there. You know what? It doesn't make any difference how hard he believes it. It's the same chair, right? It doesn't make any difference how strong your faith feels. It's the same God. And so he knows of those moments of our weak faith. The same Peter who walked on the water was the Peter of little faith. But yet he walked on the water still for those moments. Now, sometimes we're sent through the storm so that we can grow closer to him. Think for a minute. The Bible says that the Lord immediately reached out and saved Peter and brought him back into the boat. Use your imagination with me for just a minute. The Lord Jesus standing solidly on the water, Peter obviously just a matter of a few feet away, right? So that when Peter sunk, the Lord was there immediately to reach in and grab him and to pull him up. At that point, I don't think Peter was walking firmly on the water. What do you suspect happened? Did the Lord drag him by the hand back over to the boat? I have to believe the Lord grabbed him up, held him, got him over to the boat. Maybe he dumped him in. Maybe he did it a little more gracefully. I don't know. But for those few minutes, Peter was embraced by the Lord himself and helped in his moment of greatest need. The other disciples now sitting in the back of the boat find a blanket or something to throw around Peter. It's quiet. The winds have stopped. Everybody's reflecting for just that moment on what happened. And maybe, just maybe, one of the disciples leaned over and said, what was that like? What do you mean? Walking on the water. What was it like to feel the Lord's embrace, even in a moment of catastrophic failure? What was that like? You want to know what it's like to walk on the water? You want to know what it's like to feel that close intimacy with the Lord Jesus? You might just have to get wet. you might just have to be willing to step over the boat and to feel the waters rushing over your head for that instant. To be honest enough to say to him, Lord, save me. And sense what it is that he wants to do in your life in every single solitary moment. Sometimes we don't feel that closeness to the Lord because we've never bothered doing anything that demands his intimacy like that in the moment. We're fine. I've got it, Father. Everything's under control. I read my Bible this morning. I got my 3 verses out of the way. I got to church, checked that off the box. I was kind to my wife. I didn't kick the dog. I'm doing fine. And the Lord wants so much more for us. And sometimes what it is that he wants for us demands his personal, intimate touch in our lives. And it's not the kind of thing that we can pull together because somehow we're skilled enough or capable enough or experienced enough. It's simply because we are willing to follow him even to the wet and splashy places. And we're willing to risk failure if it's necessary for his glory. Sometimes we're sent through the storm to bring glory to himself. Verse number 33 says in Matthew chapter 14, when all of it was over, the disciples, recognizing now that the winds had stopped, they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Think about the things they had learned in that moment. They saw, first of all, and were reminded again, first of all, that Jesus was the Creator. And as the Creator, nothing was too hard for him. He controls the winds and the waves because he created the winds and the waves, John chapter 1 tells us. They learned that as sovereign Lord, everything is under his control. He knew the storm they were going through. He knew where they'd be on the lake at that moment in time. He knew that Peter was going to ask to get out of the boat, and he was wise enough to be close to Peter when he sunk, right? All of that was under his control. They were reminded again that as our Savior and Shepherd, he is always near to help us in our time of need. And can I remind you, church, that that's the Savior that we serve tonight, the Creator, the Sovereign, our Savior and our Shepherd. And he desires to do in us and through us the very same thing. But it's going to require at least enough faith to take one foot and stick it over the edge of the boat and to see what it is that he has for us. We serve a great God. And those who never bothered to look, those who never bothered to move away from that comfort zone, never fully experienced the greatness I believe that he has for them. What is it that the Lord's calling you to do? What's that wave that he's asking you to step out on? You say, well, I don't really know that there's any great grand plan that God has for me. Oh, he does. He has some purpose for you. I saw it on the sign out in front of the church, right? That sign comes from this book. He has a purpose for every one of us. He has a purpose for Bible Baptist Church. Bible Baptist Church, I'll remind you again, I say it every time I speak, Bible Baptist Church is not Pastor Parrish. Bible Baptist Church is not our constitution and our structure. Bible Baptist Church is not this building. Bible Baptist Church be us, right? And so if he has a purpose for Bible Baptist Church, it means he has a purpose for us individually. May he show us what it is. May we have the confidence in him, not in us, to do what it is that he calls us to do so that he can glorify himself through us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us what happened that night on the Sea of Galilee. And Lord, we recognize tonight we serve that same Savior. There are days when life is not what we wished it would be. We struggle along because we live in a world that's been cursed by sin. We struggle along because sometimes our own human nature is contrary to what it is that you would have us to do. We struggle along. But yet, Father, in the midst of the struggle, you know our every need. You call us to serve you in spite of it and even through it. Thank you for that privilege. May we be faithful with it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.